It is good to be back, and we had a good week of vacation. Weather cooperated, and the fish cooperated, and even the relatives cooperated. So I don't know how you are with your relatives. It's always good to see relatives. And then it's kind of like whenever I left, I said, well, I'll see y'all Thanksgiving whenever I can stand you again. So we had a good time, and we actually feel rested, and it's always good to be back. You know, one of the things, though, that we visit a little congregation. There's a little congregation of brothers and sisters out in a place out by Lake Tenkiller called Keys, Oklahoma. And congregation it has about 10 members in it. And we doubled their number or attendance that morning whenever our family came over. But, you know, one of the things that I always encounter, I know that it's kind of nice to be able to go and visit. But, you know, I'm the person that when Sunday rolls around, I'm ready to work. You know, I feel like I need to be doing something, teaching class or preaching or something like that. And so, you know, you go to a congregation like that. I've never have understood why it is that some people will leave a congregation and go to a bigger congregation where they can be lost. You know, just kind of sit back and not do anything. It's great to be active in the Lord's work. And I don't know how to get that across to those that don't want to be active in the Lord's church. But it makes you feel good to be active in the Lord's church. It almost makes you feel lazy when you're not. And I kind of felt lazy last week. You know, it was vacation, but I didn't, other than leading a prayer in the work there, I just felt like I didn't do anything. And so it's always good for me to get back and get to work and to be active again. And it just feels so great to belong to a congregation of so many souls that that sing together and are active together and love each other. It's wonderful to be a part. I know I say this a lot, but I mean it. It's wonderful to be a part of an active congregation. And I hope that we will always strive to be an active congregation and challenge ourselves towards that. This morning I'm going to start a series of lessons. It's going to be interrupted next week because next week is Father's Day. And I've already been told by several fathers, I hope that you'll give us the same gift you gave the mothers, a short lesson. And I'm planning a short lesson, okay? So I'll give you that gift next week. So this series of lessons will be a little bit interrupted with that. But it's a series of lessons that I think is so needful. And it's one of those that I can preach it and teach it to you, but you already have a semblance of understanding of this concept. It's one of those that I wish that I had the rest of the world as an audience, and especially our nation, especially society. I would love to be able to preach this to a lot of people who need to hear it. Unfortunately, they're not here. But it's a lesson series on love. What is love? And we're going to look at it this morning. What is love? And we're going to look at what the Bible has to say. Because, you know, when we take a look around at the world today, love is a word that's thrown around a lot. And it's a word that has been lessened by the way it's used in our society today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Because what we want to do, we're the shining lights, right? We are the ones that the world need to see. We've been given that responsibility. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You know, that's us. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be showing the rest of the world what true love is all about. So the question this morning is, do you know what true love is all about? Well, that's what we want to dig into. We want to look at this morning. What is biblical love? And then we want to take a look at, what is the love of God? What is? And we're going to get into that a little bit this morning too. But what is our responsibilities towards love? How can we show it to the community around us and the society around us? I ran across this particular saying. The heart wants what it wants. There's no logic to these things. You meet someone, you fall in love, and that's that. This probably describes the definition of what the world deems as love more accurately than any other definition. The inclination is that if my heart says it's love, then it must be love. It sounds almost daringly romantic in a lot of ways until you consider the source of the quote. It was quoted by Woody Allen. Shortly after his 12-year relationship with Mia Farrow ended, whenever Allen decided to have an affair with Mia's 21-year-old adopted daughter, Soon Yi, who is currently now Allen's third wife. How often have we heard or read where people in our society have so casually thrown the word love around to justify sin and irresponsibility within their lives? How about the couple who have lived together in fornication for years, but don't need to get married because they are soulmates and have a spiritual union of love? How many times have we seen married couples who are supposed to be married for life according to the Word of God get divorced because of adultery committed by a spouse who says they did so because they fell in love with the other man or woman? It sickens me to see the reports of parents taken into custody because their children are starving, unkempt, sexually abused, physically abused. And one of the first things they say to reporters after their children are taken away from them is, "I need to get my children back because I love them." Is this really love? Are the things that we see and experience within society, in the way that the word is so casually used and so often used, is this truly love? Or does society have it wrong? Well, as Christians, we want to dig into the source and find out for sure. We want to see what the Bible has to say on what is love. John chapter 3, verse 16 is a good place to start. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then later in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Did you know that over 90% of the time, whenever the Bible expresses the word love, it is the Greek word agape? And you have probably heard, let me just see the, I'm just kind of curious. Let me see the number of hands of those of you that have been taught that agape love is an unconditional love. Raise your hand. That's an expression that gets used a lot. It's an expression that has been taught to a great degree. And if you dig into the understanding, you can somehow justify that. But one of the questions we want to ask this morning is the love of the Bible, is agape love truly an unconditional love? It has been described by some as a love without provisions, an unconditional love. Whenever I was in Arnett preaching back in the 90s, there was a man that was preaching at the Christian church. It was a Disciples of Christ church. And that would help you to understand why this was so. They had hired him from the Methodist church. And Disciples of Christ tend to be a lot more liberal than the independent Christian churches. But we became friends. We talked a lot about the Bible and theology. He had a sister that was a member of the church, and so he'd always tease me. He'd say, "I know where you're coming from on that. I get it from my sister a lot." But we would talk about biblical things, and he would always agree with me, but he'd still go do what he was going to do, and he still taught what he was going to teach.
But one of the things that he told me, he went to Phillips University. And that's where he got his so-called preaching credentials. And he told me that one day he was there was a class starting. It was the beginning of a semester. And I'd forgot what the class was about. But the professor came in to his class. And he said immediately, he said, "This class is going to be on this particular subject. But I want to start out by telling you that it really doesn't matter that you're here. It really doesn't matter what we do in life. The Bible teaches that God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. Therefore, everyone is saved no matter what they do, no matter what they believe, no matter what they practice. Because of the love of God." You know what? The more that I experience people in our society, the more I tend to believe that there's a lot of people that believe that. That just because the Bible says God loved us, that gives them right to live life how they want to live because they are saved, because the Bible says God loves them. The Jews used to believe that being born a Jew automatically placed you in contact with the love of God and the heritage allotted the Jewish nation, no matter what you did or how you lived your life. Many in our world today call themselves Christians and believe that puts them in automatic contact with God's love. Many of them will recite John 3:16 as proof and evidence for this faith. Again, I ask, is the love of God truly unconditional? Let's take a closer look. From the beginning, God has always had a plan for the salvation of mankind. God is our Creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them." God created us, and He knew what our tendencies were going to be. God knew that man would sin. So before He created man, He set into motion a plan for man's salvation from sin. Acts chapter 15, verse 18 tells us about the omnipotence of God. It says, "Known to God from eternity are all His works." God knew what man was going to do. Therefore, before He even made man, the Bible teaches us that He set into motion a plan for the salvation of man from sin. Christ indicated this in Matthew chapter 25. In verse 34, He said, "Then the king will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" That's the beginning of creation. In Acts chapter 2 and throughout the book, we witness the early Christians accepting God's love by obeying His plan of salvation and entering the kingdom of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and verse 41 says this, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." So let's sum up what we learned from these scriptures. God created us, and He knew that we would not be able to be righteous enough to save ourselves by our own accord. So because of His love for His creation, He set into order a plan that would give His Son as a sacrifice to provide all mankind an opportunity to accept His condition of salvation. Let me say it again. It was by His love that He sent His Son to give us an opportunity for salvation by the conditions He would set up according to His plan of salvation. Let's go back to John chapter 3 and verse 16 again. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's where a lot of people want to stop.
God loves us. He gave us His Son. Therefore, He saved us. All we got to do is believe in Jesus, and we can live whatever lifestyle we want to live. We can call ourselves Christians, and we can throw the word love around however we want to use it to justify a lot of the irresponsibilities and sin within our lives. But that's not where it ends, is it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you can't look at that verse and honestly say that the love was unconditional. God's love in giving Jesus Christ for our salvation is conditional upon us believing. The book of Acts tells us what the process of believing is. It's what all the early Christians were doing in order to put themselves within the grace of God and receive salvation through His plan. And it was conditional to believe and to walk through the steps of salvation so that we will not perish but have everlasting life. Again, going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." He did not preach to them on that day, "You have crucified Christ. You have put to death the Son of God. But because of God's love, all you got to do is believe that He is the Son of God, and therefore you'll be saved from that point." He didn't just tell them, "It's okay. God loves you anyway. Even though you sin, just go and continue to live life however you want to live it, and know that God loves you and He will save you." There's conditions upon the love of God. Repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Those are conditions. Things that we have to do in order to place ourselves within the love of God. If the love of God is unconditional, why then the conditions on His salvation? Because the love of God is not unconditional. A more accurate rendition of the Greek word agape is that it is a non-partial, sacrificial love. It's non-partial in that God didn't just send Jesus Christ, His Son, to die for the Jews. God sent Jesus Christ so that all mankind could receive salvation through Him. That's love. And it's so... He sends Christ as a sacrifice. Love is sacrificial. Love is non-partial. God doesn't just give one group of people His love and leave the others out. He gives all mankind His love in that He gives all mankind an opportunity to accept the sacrifice that He made by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to die for us. That is the love. But that love is not unconditional. We do not receive that love unconditionally. We have to accept the conditions that go along with the love. God loved His creation. His love is a love that shows, and this is key, folks, His love is a love that shows responsibility. The love that the Bible teaches is a love that shows responsibility. And I see a lot of people, I hear a lot of people saying, "Oh, I love you. Oh, I love God. I love God so much. I love Jesus. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children." But you know what? Their actions don't show or back up the evidence of that. So what are they doing? Oh, just throwing the word around. Maybe they've got a little feeling. We'll talk about that fuzzy feeling in a future lesson, because that's what a lot of people base what love is upon the feelings you have within yourself. But the love that God shows in the Bible always carries with it a sense of responsibility. That's what society's missing out on. That's what the world just doesn't seem to get quite right. is that love has to show responsibility. This salvation is conditional upon us accepting the love of our God. Now, we're going to look at some serious verses, okay? We're going to also look at grace before we get through with this particular lesson. So this morning, we're going to look at some serious lessons. These are some verses to contemplate as we look at what this true love is. Love is being responsible to those around you. It is a sacrificial love that thinks more about others than self. It is a love that is centered upon the righteousness of God's Word and His will. Now, I want to read that again. Love is being responsible to those around you. It is a sacrificial love that thinks more about others than self. It is a love that is centered upon the righteousness of God's will and word. Is this the love you experience in the world? As you read the headlines in the newspaper in the mornings, or you see the headlines on the news in the evenings, or you read the news on the internet, or you read what your latest celebrities are doing, the latest marriage or relationship they're in, and how they're giving advice on love because they've been through about 12 or 13 relationships and marriages. They know all about it, right? Is this the love that's being described? Mark chapter 12, verse 30 through 31, Christ tells us a little bit about the love that God expects us to follow. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, here's what this is describing about the love that God wants us to have. First of all, that love has to have God first. Priorities are such that family doesn't come first, work doesn't come first, recreation doesn't come first. God comes first in all things, in everything. God has to come first. That's what love is. And the second commandment is likened unto it. Once we concentrate on our relationship with God, and as we concentrate on our relationship with God, we also have to realize it's not all about me. There are others around me. I have family relationships. I have friendship relationships. I have relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. I have work-related relationships. How do I handle those relationships and get through them with the least amount of problems? Or when problems occur, what can I do to help to rectify those problems? Show love. What kind of love? Sacrificial love. Love that sacrifices self in order to be responsible to those who are around me. See, that's the love Christ showed whenever He came and did what He did for us on the cross. This is what true love is. It's probably the reason why the world gets it wrong, because it is responsibility. It takes some work, doesn't it? But, you know, Jesus doesn't stop there. In fact, in John chapter 14, there's three scriptures that He uses to tell us what love truly is. John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Again, we got lots of people saying they love Jesus. Do their lives show it? Are they keeping the commandments of Christ? Do they see that as important? Or do they just feel love? They just feel like everything's okay. They just feel like they could go and sin whatever they want to sin because Jesus loves them and Jesus is going to forgive them anyway. Is there no responsibility? Are there no conditions that go along with love? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a condition. I've known a lot of people through the years of my life who have claimed to love Jesus, but there was no evidence of that in their lives. Is there evidence in our lives this morning? John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You understand that here's another condition. If you show me that you love me, Jesus says, I'll give you to my Father and I will love you. Does that sound unconditional to you? It's not unconditional. It's conditional. We are loved as we love. If we love Christ, we obey him. We want to follow him in his footsteps. He loves us. And God loves us. John chapter 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you love me, keep my word. Again, the world's not getting it right. And you know what? I read an article this last week. A lot of you have read this article. I've commented on this before. One of the fastest growing religions, if you want to paraphrase that, is no religion. In our nation today, people are defecting from Christianity at great rates. So the article was about the Southern Baptists. The latest statistics showed that they're experiencing more empty pews than they ever have in their history. Well, unfortunately, it's what's going on in the Lord's church too. You know, people are leaving the church. They're going to the world. And one of the reasons why they say they're doing that is that they're tired of experiencing Christians who call themselves Christians but don't act like Christians. Unfortunately, that's true. You see, in order to act like a Christian, we have to follow the word of Christ. In order to show true love for our Savior and our God, we've got to follow them and their word and their will. This is what true love is. This is why Christ mentions it three times in John chapter 14. And then, not to be finished yet, he moves to John chapter 15 in his discourse to his apostles and disciples. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You mean it's not possible to abide in the love of Christ? Yeah. It's possible that Christ will not love us. There's going to come a day whenever God is going to have many stand before him. And his love will not be able to touch them because they rejected him in their lives. They might have said they loved him, but their actions spoke otherwise. And he's going to have to say to them, depart from me, you who practice iniquity. I know you not. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear God say, you love me. You love me. I know you love me. You fed those who were hungry. You took care of my children. You clothed them. You did good things for them. You visited them whenever they were sick. You practiced all these things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see, those things show love. Love is more than a word. Love is more than a feeling. Love is action. Love is fulfilling responsibility. That's the love we are to exemplify as followers of Jesus Christ. It's the love that the world can feel about, they can talk about, they can try to exclaim in some forms or another. But for a lot of people, the word love is always going to be a tool to justify the sin that they want to commit in their life. That's the kind of love we're seeing in the world. I love this person, therefore I'm going to be irresponsible to this person and I'm going to leave them and I'm going to go join with them. That's not love. We need to be able to distinguish what is true love and what is false love. And what we have looked at this morning in God's Word is the definitions of love. It's the meanings of true love. It's God's love, agape love. It is a love that carries with it conditions and responsibilities. But it is a love that is impartial and sacrificial in that none of us deserve the love, but all of us got that love anyway. We all have opportunity, but it's all about what we do with the opportunity. All people all over the world have the opportunity to accept the love of God. But the question they all have to answer is, am I going to accept it? Now let's bring it home this morning. What about us? Are we exemplifying the love of God? Are we truly living the kind of love that God shows us, that Jesus wants us to follow? Are we setting examples for people in our community? Are we setting examples for people who are at home, who are unfaithful? Are we setting examples in our relationships that we have with those we work with, those who are our neighbors, those that we socialize with? The world needs to see the true love of God and the true love of Christ. And the only way it's going to see it, folks, is through us. They're not going to figure it out on their own. Some of them try and they fail miserably. The only way they'll see it is through us. If we're showing them what true love is all about. If you're here this morning, you have an opportunity to take advantage of the true love of Jesus Christ. He has sacrificed himself for you because he loves you and he wants you to be saved. The conditions to accept that love is this. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to be willing to confess that to others. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be washed in baptism. Washed in his blood. The water that washes away sin and puts us in Christ. And you need to live a life of love. True love, according to the Word of God. And if you're here this morning and you are prepared to do that and you want to do that, we stand ready to assist you if you'll but come while together we stand.